are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock back again with you on this Thursday edition of the show. We're going to hear from defensive coordinator Robert Saleh, who took the podium Wednesday to speak on a number of issues on the defense and who might be playing in week three of the preseason at Kansas City. And I've got to make some revisions to my 53-man roster projection from last Thursday. I completely missed one player. It was a big omission, and now knowing what we know a week later, I think there's a couple of changes I might want to make, and we'll talk about who might be able to sneak on the practice squad if things ended up the way I see them. And one quick note before we get going here, this is usually where I remind everybody to follow me on Twitter at BDPeacock and subscribe to the show and all that stuff. But I do want to give a huge thanks to all the listeners out there. I know a lot of you listen every day, and I looked at the numbers today and I was blown away by how many downloads and how many listens we're getting here on the podcast. And I remember last year we did a giveaway when we got to 1 million downloads for the year, and that happened around Christmas time. And this year it's going to happen, probably next week, before the season even starts, we'll already have hit that 1 million downloads mark, and we're still doing 4 days per week. By the way, we're going to do 5 days per week starting this week. So tomorrow, a fresh show for you in the morning, a crossover episode with the fellas from Locked On Chiefs, which will be a fun one. And we're going to be doing those crossovers every week for the regular season with the hosts of different of the opponents here on the Locked On Podcast Network, which is always fun. You got to know your opponent a little bit. So we'll be breaking down the games, looking ahead at games, and got every angle for you covered. And starting this week, we're going to be doing 5 episodes per week through the season, and then we throttle down to 4 per episode through the offseason. But again, huge thank you. We're going to hit 1 million next week, and shoot, we might get to 2 million before the end of the season, because the season, we do an extra day per week, and we get more listens during the season, as you would expect, than during the off season. So, and we're seeing the numbers continue to grow and continue to grow. So huge thank you to all the listeners out there, all the subscribers, and a hello to all the new listeners, and thanks for spreading the word and telling friends about Locked On 49ers. And we're also seeing a nice little bump on the Locked On NFL show, so thank you to all the listeners that followed me over there as well. Let's check in with Robert Saleh, who took the podium, dropped some nuggets Wednesday about the 49ers defense. And the first thing is that Fred Warner and Quan Alexander will be playing Saturday. So that's going to be awesome to see those two guys together and really start to see this front seven take shape. It's already played pretty well, even with a lot of the starters out so far this preseason. So seeing all these guys together, DeForest Buckner said he wants to play a full half on Saturday. Fred Warner's going to be in there. Quan Alexander, who really, with all the bad injury news that happens, Quan Alexander has been the good side of the injury news here for the 49ers, and his recovery has gone really well from his ACL surgery. So that's good news. Quan Alexander on pace to play week one and on pace to play this weekend, Saturday, in Kansas City. Nick Bosa not going to play. Eric Armstead will be in there. Solomon Thomas will be in there. But what about D Ford? When's he going to see some action?
So D Ford, just like the other guys that haven't been able to go, there's no rush for this, especially on a short week. Monday night game on the road, then going again on the road Saturday. For D, it's just, again, going, checking in with the performance staff, see where he's at. If he's able to, great. If not, there's no pressing need. But again, it's up to the performance staff and how that goes. D Ford's position here is less mentally taxing than what it was with the Chiefs.
Go get the quarterback.
Yeah, that's right.
I like that. Much less mentally taxing. Yeah. Hey, D, go get the quarterback. Hey, coach, what do you want me to do on this play? Well, you know, go after the quarterback. Why not? I think the same for Nick Bosa. That's why both those guys probably aren't going to play. And I guess it's a great sign that he didn't shut the door completely on D Ford playing Saturday, but there's no need to rush those guys. The assignment's a little bit simplified here for the 49ers and those defensive ends. D Ford, Nick Bosa, be smart. Hold them out, I think, is the way to go, and let them wreak havoc starting week one in Tampa. Let's stick with the defensive line. And Saleh was asked what he thought about Solomon Thomas's performance.
So Solomon thought he had a really, really nice game. One play I'm sure he wishes he had back, but he's playing with very little indecision. He's very decisive. He's got good technique. He's playing very fast. And I like where he's at mentally. I like where he's at physically. He'll take on the same load as everybody else here. Once we talk about it, don't see any restrictions with regards to how much he'll play for Kansas City. But again, we'll meet on it later on in the week. But I really liked this game. I thought he did a nice job. He probably could have came away with two sacks. Some of the guys left him hanging on their rush with contain and all that stuff. But I thought he did a nice job.
Loved what I've seen from Solomon Thomas. Playing free, playing fast, and if he becomes the guy that I thought he was going to be coming out of Stanford, and I didn't think he was worthy of the number 3 overall pick necessarily. I think I had him at number 13 overall in the first round, so still I had him as a mid-first round guy. What I love is that what I saw from him at Stanford and his penetrating ability. He played 3-4 defensive end there, so you know, kicking inside and playing against guards, it just has the speed and burst advantage there every down. And when you think about what the nickel front could look like for the 49ers with Bosa and Ford on the outside and Thomas and Buckner on the inside, and with the rotation that's behind them, I mean, that could be a crazy talented group. And then you have Warner and Quan Alexander that have a ton of speed behind them. I expect the front to be pretty great as it is, and that Solomon Thomas bonus that we're going to see hopefully this year that we haven't seen yet from him in his career, potentially dominating. Yet another player that has not made an appearance yet for the 49ers, Jimmy Ward. How's he looking? And is there potential for Ward to come back and not have that starting job anymore?
Just like everybody else, Kyle and John and John's staff have done a great job putting together a really good roster with regards to depth and all that stuff. So T. Moore's stepped up and done a great job, and he's earned the right to be part of the discussion. So for Jimmy, he's got to go show that he's ready for action. And I'm not saying that he needs to do it now, but over the next couple of weeks, he just has to continue to accelerate.
Interesting. That is the first time I think we've heard them not say Jimmy Ward was the starter, because that's been their stance really the whole time. And starting at the beginning of the offseason when they signed him to that one-year contract, he was supposed to be the starter. And even as of a couple of weeks ago, Tarvarius Moore, Robert Saleh was quoted saying, dude's not ready to play in the NFL at free safety. And now he's in the conversation at least to be the starter. That's only taken 2 weeks. We still have 2 more weeks. Maybe Tarvarius Moore can make that not even a question and just go win that job. And each week he seems to be getting better. And in the 2 weeks we've seen him play, definitely has seen him get even a little bit better incrementally there. So maybe Jimmy Ward. And at this point with his injury history, I think that's the right path. Maybe keep him healthy, keep him on the field less, utilize his talents in a number of ways, because he can do a lot of things for the defense. Okay, we've got to get a word from our sponsors here, and after the break, a couple of more comments from Robert Saleh on the secondary, and then we will take another look at that 53-man roster, make some revisions, and I think some things are starting to get a little bit more clear. It's a new season. Antonio Brown is on the Raiders. Le'Veon Bell is on the Jets. Odell Beckham is in Cleveland. The one thing that hasn't changed is where I'm putting my money on the games. MyBookie is the place to bet on football every weekend. MyBookie has better bonuses and more prop bets than any other sportsbook, period. This year, they're hosting the first online handicapping super contest. First place is guaranteed to win at least $100,000, and it only costs $100 to enter. All you gotta do is pick 5 NFL games against the spread every week to climb the leaderboard and score your share of the huge cash prize pool. MyBookie is always the right play. You bet, you win, they pay. MyBookie has live in-game betting on every NFL game. They've got the most rewarding player perks in the business. And for you fantasy guys out there, you can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score each game. Up to $1,000 first deposit bonus. Double your first deposit. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON when creating your account to claim the bonus. Bet, win, get paid. I think Solomon Thomas was one of the bright spots in the week two preseason game at Denver. And another one was Jaquaski Tartt, his first action of the preseason. And he was flying around. He was making plays at the line of scrimmage. He was making plays behind the line of scrimmage and making plays in coverage. And the audio is a little wonky here. He got cut off at the beginning, but Sala first mentioned how good his coverage was on the first round tight end, Noah Fant.
Coverage on their first round pick, did well in tackling. Communicated well, showed good range, great patience in the run game to recognize some of the slide boots that they've got. So he was in the right place and put himself in position to make some good plays. So he's grown. For him, it's just going to continue. Like he can be a great playmaker. He's just got to go make them. So for Tartt to continue again, same thing, get better with every single rep that he gets, whether it's practice or game time. But thought he did a nice job.
He can be a great playmaker. Just got to go make him. I like it. There's almost this Mike Singletary ring to that to that Sala-ism there. What about Kawan Williams? What's going on in the slot? Who's going to play there? Maybe Jimmy Ward could play there a little bit if he's not the starter at free safety. DJ Reed get in action there. Emmanuel Mosley get in action there. But Kawan Williams is the starter when he's back.
Well, it's a very important position. It's, you know, back in the day when teams were 70% base, the Sam linebacker was the important one, and now they're 70% nickel, so that nickel is basically taking over that Sam spot, so it's very important. With Kawan, there's hope. We'll see what happens. Mosley's done a nice job stepping up at that nickel spot also. DJ Reed's doing a nice job in there, so we're confident that we've got we'll have that position under control once the season starts.
Audio is kind of bad on that one. By the way, that was not my laptop that you heard being typed on. The audio was all over the place in that press conference. But I think I've liked what I've seen from DJ Reed more out of the slot than anywhere else. And I like his versatility. I think DJ Reed can definitely make the team. His game was up and down. He really finished strong, though, last week. And then, of course, Kawan Williams. I loved what I've seen from him his entire time as a 49er. Pretty underrated player there. But Sala is right. That's important. That's a starter. The nickel cornerback is a starter on your defense, just like the third wide receiver should be considered a starter on your offense. So you essentially have 12 starters on both sides of the ball, depending on what, you know, the team starts on base or nickel. So it's important. The 49ers have a lot of players that can play there, but you would like to have all of your guns ready to go, and Kawan Williams is the number one gun there. It's time to revise my roster projection for the season. When it comes to cutdowns and the 49ers' final 53-man roster, it sounds like Kyle Shanahan is coming around to the idea that they're only going to keep two quarterbacks. And maybe it's reading too much into it, but it sounds like, reading between the lines here, that Kyle Shanahan said he's not going to make his quarterback decision on who the backup is until the last minute, until the last minute he can. And he said that last minute as he can is the cut down to the 53-man roster. Well, it wouldn't matter if you're going to keep all three quarterbacks when you decide who the backup is. You could do that on game day in week one, right? It could change week to week. But if you have to decide by the time roster cutdowns happen, that makes me believe that the 49ers plan to only keep two of those quarterbacks. And maybe conspiracy theorists have this notion that C.J. Beathard played so much against the Broncos because the Broncos might be eyeing C.J. Beathard. And obviously his old quarterback's coach is there as the offensive coordinator. So I could see how you could draw those lines, and it would make some sense. Drew Lock going down, he might miss part of the season at least. And Drew Lock, probably the rookie second rounder, wasn't going to be ready to play for the Broncos anytime soon. But they still have Joe Flacco as the starter. Is C.J. Beathard a big upgrade over Kevin Hogan? I don't know. I think I would take C.J. Beathard over Kevin Hogan, but I don't know if it's a big enough upgrade to trade even a late-round draft pick for a player that you hope doesn't play, because you know you have your starter in place in Joe Flacco. There's been a lot of talk out of Green Bay that the Packers' backup situation behind Aaron Rodgers is terrible, so maybe there's a fit. And again, that offense under Matt LaFleur, that would make some sense for a fit for C.J. Beathard, possibly. And then, of course, there's potentially the reality that Kyle Shanahan loves C.J. Beathard. He talked about how there's always an opportunity for a big play when Beathard's in the game. And he hasn't given any indication that it's Nick Mullins or C.J. Beathard. And he said it doesn't matter who comes in first. Don't read too much into it with this third preseason game, which you would think that they would have it pretty well settled by then. We'll see. But maybe it is C.J. Beathard. Maybe they want to move Nick Mullins. I don't know. But as I have it projected, and I'm going to stick with it, and it makes the most sense, keep two quarterbacks, it's Garoppolo and Nick Mullins. I'm going to revise what I was doing at running back there. I had four plus McKinnon on IR plus Kyle Juszczyk, and I just don't think that's necessary, especially with how good Mostert is playing. And when you have Raheem Mostert, who can be the number three running back, and he's proven that he can play on offense, and he's obviously got his special team skills as well as a gunner. So Coleman, Breida, Mostert, that's all you need at tailback. You've still got the fullback in Kyle Juszczyk. If you get in a real pinch, Jalen Hurd will be on the roster. Maybe he can go back there and run the ball for you a little bit. And of course, if you do run into some problems one week, you can pull somebody up from the practice squad there, and you would hope that you could sneak Jeffrey Wilson back on to the practice squad this year. So two quarterbacks, three running backs, one fullback. Still going with three tight ends, Kittle, Dwelly, Toy Lolo with Garrett Celek on IR. Wide receiver, six. That's not going to change. Pettis, Debo, Hurd, Goodwin, Taylor. And to me, it's got to be Richie James. Richie James has that value as a special teamer. Taylor's going to be the guy in street clothes, at least probably for the first couple of weeks. And that would leave you with a one guy who can play special teams in James as a return man. He can cover kicks as well, even though that's maybe not his strongest suit. And I think Hurd would be really good covering kicks, right? With his size and his physicality, it would seem like that'd be a natural fit for him to be able to do, even if he's not one of the main players in the rotation. And then it seems like they really want Pettis and Goodwin to win those starting wide receiver jobs, even though neither one has a catch yet in the preseason. Offensive line, I had nine before. They could sneak up to 10 now since I do have one less running back here, but they might have to use that in the secondary or maybe on the defensive line. So right now I'm going to stick with nine. You've got the starters in Staley, Tomlinson, Richburg, Person, and McGlinchey. It depends on if Richburg can get healthy and come off the PUP in time. And it also depends on Mike Person's health, and he was in a walking boot. Missed the last preseason game, but he's said to be, you know, it's not a serious injury, so hopefully he will be back and ready to go in week one. But behind those guys, Ben Garland, I think, is locked in. He might have to start at center week one. Najee Turan has played well enough and has shown some versatility to play right guard and center, which is important, and maybe he has to start week one if Person is not ready and if they do cut Joshua Garnett, as I am projecting here. Daniel Brunskill has some skills to play guard and play tackle. It's really tight between Daniel Brunskill for me and Justin School. And maybe Justin School has taken the lead there over Brunskill. And I think Brunskill is somebody you can put on the practice squad. And they drafted School in the sixth round. So they would not, I think, ideally want to try to put Justin School through waivers and see if they can get him back to the practice squad. Although, to my eye, it doesn't look like Justin School is ready to be that swing tackle. The fact that they've given Justin School so many snaps and he's played left tackle and right tackle now, I think they'll still add a guy for the ninth player here. But right now, I'm going to revise this and give the nod to Justin School because he was the draft pick, and maybe they'll try to get Brunskill onto the practice squad, which I think they probably will be able to do. Joshua Garnett, still the X factor there, and he was back on the practice field Wednesday. If he's able to show enough, maybe he will be, and I'm sure he'll start if he's practicing this week. He'll start Saturday. We'll find out more about his health and if he's ready to go and cleared for game day. But if he is able to stick one more time on the roster, maybe the 49ers have an ability to keep 10 offensive linemen instead of the 9 I originally projected, because I've got one extra spot now after only taking the two quarterbacks and the three running backs with Kyle Juszczyk also is the fourth running back. So that leaves a little bit of wiggle room on the offensive side of the ball there, or potentially taking an extra defensive lineman since that's so deep. And so the bigger name cuts there on offense would be C.J. Beathard. Potentially trade opportunity there with him. Same with Jordan Matthews and Kendrick Bourne, who don't make the roster here. Joshua Garnett, still maybe, but I would just move on without Garnett. But now with all the injuries, maybe you do have to take him, and we'll see how he looks. Maybe he can change my mind the last couple of weeks here of the preseason. Willie Beavers would also get cut, and then Daniel Brunskill cut, hopefully snuck back onto the practice squad along with Jeffrey Wilson and Caden Smith. And now on to the defense. Nothing has changed on the defensive line for me. DeForest Buckner, Nick Bosa, Dee Ford, Eric Armstead, Solomon Thomas, Ronald Blair, DJ Jones, Sheldon Day, Kentavious Street, Julian Taylor. 10 defensive linemen. That's a very good group there. There's even a couple guys who deserve potentially to make the roster. There's just not room for them. I just can't keep more than 10 guys, and there's definitely a dozen guys, maybe more, that are worthy of being on the roster, and I think even some players like Kevin Givens, who's played early in these games and has looked pretty good, I think he's someone you could still get to the practice squad. And Robert Saleh was asked about him on Wednesday's press conference, and he said he didn't sound as glowing as you might have expected. And again, remember, there's a lot of players not playing, so I think he might get a little bit more buried here in week three. So he's down the depth chart a little bit, despite playing pretty early in these preseason games. But a nice player, and a player I've liked, and someone that you would hope to get to the practice squad. And I wouldn't be super worried about cutting him right now and another team swooping to pick him up. But there is potential for that. And there's still potential for the 49ers to trade out of their enormous strength here on the defensive line. Eric Armstead's the name I keep coming back to, because if Solomon Thomas is playing as well as he is right now, you have Kentavious Street back now, you have Julian Taylor there, all of those guys can play a big, stout, run-stopping defensive end role or be a defensive tackle. And so some versatility there might allow you, and if I'm a team that runs a 3-4 defense and I needed a defensive end and I could fit Armstead under my salary cap, I think that's a fantastic fit, and I think he would flourish in a 3-4 defense. Although, I still like Armstead, and he's talented, and he'll be heavily involved in the rotation, probably be on the field for the first play of the first game if he is not traded. And I don't really expect him to be, but that is a name to watch out for, just because he's in the last year of his deal, and they're definitely not going to be able to re-sign him. Linebacker is where I have made a change. I added one player, Azeez Al-Shaair, the rookie linebacker out of UAB, and he's just been all over the place. It's very different than what I said about Kevin Givens. I would be afraid that a team did swoop up and take Azeez Al-Shaair, and I think every team goes through this. There's so many players that you would like to sneak onto the roster if you could, and you're maybe afraid to put them on waivers, but again, there's not a lot of room on other people's rosters to take on players. Like, how many players would the 49ers pick up off of other teams' waivers that they're cutting? Maybe one on the offensive line. I can't see that many spots where they would pick up an obvious player and put him on their active roster. So not that many teams have an opportunity to pick up a guy. So I think you can put a higher percentage of the players you cut onto your practice squad than maybe it seems like at times. But Azeez Al-Shaair is one guy that I wouldn't even worry at this point. I like too much of what I've seen from him. To me, he makes the roster. And here we have that extra roster spot, so I'm keeping 6 linebackers now in this projection instead of the 5 that I put in here last week. And we'll see if he can just completely overtake David Mayo. And we'll see how early Azeez Al-Shaair is playing in this football game. Or maybe Malcolm Smith is the guy that gets cut, and you can still keep 5, and then Azeez Al-Shaair makes the roster in that way. But right now I've still got Fred Warner, Quan Alexander, Malcolm Smith. I think those will be the 3 starters. I don't know if the team is ready to go with Greenlaw, but it was interesting that it looked like Greenlaw got the start at strong side linebacker in this last game, and then Smith was actually playing the weak side spot in place of Quan Alexander. So there's also some flexibility there for Smith to potentially play multiple positions, where it looks like Greenlaw is strictly playing strong side linebacker in base, and then he's playing weak side linebacker in nickel situations. And then, so Greenlaw, Mayo, and Azeez Al-Shaair would be the 3 backups to Warner, Alexander, and Smith there at linebacker. Defensive back, that's where I made a huge mistake last week, and thanks everybody who chimed in, and it was a glaring mistake. I completely missed, and for some reason he wasn't on my list here, Jason Verrett. I didn't include him, and no, I don't think the 49ers are going to cut Jason Verrett, but he does have to be healthy. So there is potential for him to not be on the roster just because he can't get healthy and he can't stay on the field. Maybe an IR situation if this injury turns out to be worse than they expect. But right now the prognosis is that he'll be back sometime soon. So we'll see, and hopefully Verrett is, and we'll see what kind of player the 49ers have in him. But I think right now you have to project that he's going to make the roster and probably be a key backup to Akella Witherspoon. But he hasn't been able to show enough in camp and hasn't been healthy enough to say that he would be able to overtake Witherspoon and be the starter, even though he has the talent to do so. So defensive backs, we have 10. So that means we have to cut one of the players I thought we would be keeping in last week's projection. So Jason Verrett is in, Richard Sherman, Akella Witherspoon, Kaywan Williams, Emmanuel Mosley, DJ Reed. That's 6 corners, You definitely can't keep any more corners than that, and that leaves you with four available spots for safeties. And Jimmy Ward, Jaquaski Tartt, Tarvarius Moore, and Marcel Harris, which means Antoine Exum, who I had projected to make the roster, he gets cut, and Adrian Colbert remains cut, along with Elijah Lee, Mark Nzacha, Dante Johnson, Demontre Moore, Jay Bromley, Voalaga. There's so many defensive linemen that could make this roster that the 49ers are going to most likely have to cut, and unless they can find a lot of extra roster spots for those guys. And then a couple of other defensive linemen that I would project to the practice squad, Jamel Garcia-Williams at defensive end and Kevin Givens at defensive tackle. And there's a couple of six-rounders. Last week it was 3 6-rounders. I think Justin School, the 49ers are really trying to get him a spot and give him enough work to earn that spot. The jury's still out there, but I have him making it now. And you never want to cut your draft picks, your six-round picks. I know they're later picks, but the 49ers had 3 6-rounders. They don't want to just draft those guys and then throw them away. Right now, I don't think Tim Harris, the cornerback out of Virginia, and I don't think Caden Smith, the tight end from Stanford, have done enough to separate themselves and prove that they're able to make the roster. Maybe Caden Smith, but I'd be surprised if Tim Harris makes the roster at this point. But both players, I think, would have a pretty good shot at making the practice squad. If you only keep two quarterbacks, you definitely have to have a quarterback on the practice squad. I don't know if Wilton Spates is that guy, so maybe you go shopping there if you're the 49ers on the waiver wire, try to talk a player into coming to the 49ers practice squad instead of going back to their original team's practice squad. One of the guys I'm looking for, actually, we just saw in Denver, we didn't see a lot of them, Brett Rypien, the undrafted rookie out of Boise State. Maybe the 49ers could talk him into coming on over to their practice squad, seeing as there's only two quarterbacks on the active roster. If the Denver Broncos have three quarterbacks, and then he would be the fourth, and he would be on the practice squad. Maybe the 49ers could work some of that, or maybe they don't even try to bring him back to the practice squad. I don't know. That's just one name, but I got to imagine there's a player out there, a quarterback, that could get waived that the 49ers would go hard after to try to put them on the practice squad over Wilton Spates. Daniel Brunskill would be on my practice squad if he's able to make it, as would offensive guard Ross Reynolds, the undrafted rookie, and Malik Henry, wide receiver, Jeffrey Wilson at running back, and maybe even the tight end slash fullback Tyree Mayfield, just to give you another fullback to look at in practice and potentially get some run at either tight end or fullback if there was some very pressing needs on the offense. But to be honest, I think if Juszczyk is out, the 49ers just wouldn't roll with the fullback. Okay, so that's the revised 53-man roster projection with the practice squad, and we'll see how that holds up after week 3 of the preseason in Kansas City, and we'll be talking to the fine folks from Locked On Chiefs on a crossover episode tomorrow. Talk to you then right here, Locked On 49ers.